Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 202 of the Falcoholic Live. I am your host, Kevin Knight, bringing you all the takes from day four of Falcons training camp. Saturday is here. It was looking a little bit sketchy as I arrived. The clouds were a bit ominous, but the fans were not dissuaded, I get, whatever the word is. It's too late. You know, I've used all my words. You saw that the article I put out, it was like 1700 words. I used all my words. You know, I can't, I don't have any more. But the fans were not, you know, the fans showed up, is what I'm trying to say. The fans showed up with, despite the weather, and it was a good practice. It was a great practice. It was the best practice so far. It was spectacular. Lots of great plays. The offense really bounced back. It was a strong day by the offense overall. And that doesn't mean the defense was, like, terrible or anything. I thought the defense did battle pretty well. It was very competitive. It was very intense. It was quite testy at the end as well. This was the first time I've actually seen the Falcons fight at training camp. I was there for a couple days last year, and there were no fights then. There were fights today. And I'll just say there was, like, some reporting that, like, Arthur Smith shut down practice because of the fighting. And I think it was more of, like, a coincidence. Like, they had already gone late. Like, they had gone over the amount of time that they were supposed to practice. It was scheduled, according to my media announcement, to end at 11:30. And when practice ended, for real, it was 11:39. So they were already running late. And the first fight was between Jalen Dalton and Jermaine Ifedi. And I was told by someone who got a better angle of it than I did. I was watching the play, so I didn't really see who, like, threw hands at first. I knew it was Dalton, but I guess Dalton came running in from outside the play to mess with Ifedi, which Ifedi doesn't surprise me. Like, I was like, oh, if there's a fight, it's probably going to be Ifedi. He's kind of known, you know, as a little bit of an interesting character, I guess I'll say. So that was the first one. They got back in it. They played a couple more downs. Then the final play of practice ended up being a tackle for loss by UDFA Derek Tangelo. And then I think somebody threw, I think it was Anthony Rush and the center on that line, whoever it was, were fighting. I don't remember who exactly. I think it might have been Jonathan Harrison, the veteran, the long time veteran center, former undrafted free agent, who's actually started a lot of games in the NFL. So that was interesting to see that too. It was testy out there for sure, and it wasn't just the players. Like, the players obviously were very into it, but also the coaching staff was, you know, fired up as well. These guys, they were, I would definitely, if you can, go watch DNP's press conference in particular, because it was really quite good. Like, I've seen a lot of press conferences, and, like, DNP's was very exciting. He got me fired up. I was like, okay, it's time, like, I'll strap on some pads, let's go, you know, like, and It was really nice to hear. You know, obviously you need to see the results show up on the field as well. You can't just have the talk, but the talk is in the right place. You know, Pease is like, look, I've heard it all. I know what the outside perception of this team is, and I'm tired of it. You know, he was cursing. I feel like he apologized after, like, every statement. He was like, oh yeah, you know, so this is some cursing. So if, you know, you want to, like, you know, mute it for the next 10 seconds, this is your warning. But he was like, man, you know, I'm tired of this bullshit. We're going to change this goddamn, you know, stuff. I'm tired of this crap, this BS. Like, we're going to change this culture. I'm done with this crap. Like, we're going to, and, like, he was talking about the outside expectations, certainly, but also I think he was definitely talking about some of the players, the way that they treated things last year. I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know the major culprit on defense, who's probably not going to be on the roster much longer because of maybe a trade or even a cut has been proposed. You know, he referenced, oh, I don't care how much, you know, you count against the salary cap. So I think we all know who he was talking about. And that was refreshing to hear. You know, Dean Pease is a good defensive coordinator. He's been around the block. He knows what he's doing, and I hope that he can get it back on track. He's definitely saying the right things with the right inflection to get me excited. And look, he's like, you know, he's not really a rah-rah coach. Like, if you've seen the guys, like Dan Quinn, great speakers, you know, they go out there, they fire their guys up, they give pep talks. And Dean Pease was like, I don't do that. Like, how many good, like, if you're a really good team, you don't need a pep talk. Like, you don't need your guys to come out there. Like, your guys should be fired up before they even get to the stadium. Like, you get hyped up during the week with your preparation. That's what gets you in the right mindset and the right place to go. If you need me to go out there and fire you up before a game, then, like, we're doing our jobs wrong. And you know, I think he's right about that. So I'm encouraged by it. And we'll see how that translates into actual game and overall defensive play. But it was encouraging, and I like that. And look, I think a little bit of fighting is a normal thing in football. I mean, you guys, I'm sure a lot of you guys have played. You know, it's no different than high school. If anything, high school, college, whatever. If anything, it's more intense because these guys are fighting for their livelihoods. This is not a side gig, you know, a fun thing you're doing in school or whatever. You know, I'm not saying everyone who plays high school football is doing it casually. I know a lot of people want to make it to college and all that, and it's very serious, but it's not as serious as the NFL, okay, just to be frank. Like, so these guys are out there, they're sweating. Like, it was cloudy to start, but it was hot and humid as hell by the time we wrapped up practice, and these guys are out there sweating, they're fighting for their jobs, they're fighting for their careers. And I think Arthur Smith had a great comment about it. He's like, look, we don't want people to, like, throw hands. Like, we don't want fisticuffs, we don't want actual fighting like that. But he'd rather have a guy who he has to hold back than someone he has to push forward, you know? And I agree with that. Like, that's pretty much Jermaine Effetti in a nutshell, right? I think they're saying the right things. Now we need to see that translates, but it's a good place to start. You know, that shows that their heads are in the right place. So I'm happy about that. And the practice was very intense. They ramped up the speed of practice as it went on. It started out, you know, as more of a walkthrough. And then by the end of practice, they were going basically full speed without tackling. And some of it got a little close to tackling, some pass breakups and things like that. So, Sunday is off. It's a rest day. There won't be any practice or anything going on at the branch. And then on Monday will be the first padded practice. So if you're looking to see this team in pads, I believe that practice is open to the public as well. So fans, I think, are welcome at that one too. So we're going to get an even better look at this team real soon. They're going to have a day to cool off here. But it was a good practice today. It was fun to watch. It was a great show for the fans. It was a great show for me. I got some great shots. You know, check out my Twitter. Check out my Twitter feed if you want some great shots. Adnan Ekic was there with me, as was Will McFadden. So that was fun to hang out and meet up with those guys. I really enjoyed meeting all of you that came up and said hi today. I believe it was someone who's here right now, Jake Stevens. I think you were one of the people that said hi. I think there were some other folks in here as well. And then shout out to, I already forgot your name. I'm really sorry about that. But I'm at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Someone was like, oh, I know you said you were coming, you know, to the Buffalo Wild Wings. I didn't know if you'd be at this one. He was picking up food for I think his work or something like that, and he just happened to be there, and so we got to talk at Buffalo Wild Wings too, so that was fun. I've never taken selfies with people before, other than family, you know, and that's like normal, right? So that was fun. That made me feel like a real celeb, you know, so thanks guys. That was fun. I enjoyed it, and happy to say hi and come over and talk to anybody. As long as, you know, if there's 7-on-7, 11-11's going on, you know, I can't do it, so don't do it then. But, you know, after practice is over, during, like, warm-ups and stuff like that, absolutely. Come over and say hi. Just shout for me, and I'll come over and say hi. I enjoy that. So, I know we had a question about Frank Darby. And, like, I think Darby honestly has looked fine, but the problem is that fine's not going to be enough to make this team. And I know everyone loves him. I know he's very popular with the coaching staff, with the players. He seems like a guy that everyone gets along with. I think someone was like, oh yeah, the funniest guy on the team is Frank Darby. And you like to have guys like that around your locker room, obviously. But making the top five wide receivers is probably out of the cards for him. Making the top six, you know, maybe slightly more realistic. But I, even then, I don't really think so. It's a tough hill for him to climb. He could still be very much in the mix for the practice squad. But again, there's a lot of interesting UDFAs, and I think he's been upstaged by Stanley Berryhill. Stanley Berryhill Jr. I think he's been the most impressive of sort of those depth guys, you know, consistently day after day, just making plays. Jared Bernhardt's right there as well. Shout out to, I believe it was Jared Bernhardt's father that came over and, you know, thanked me for the coverage. And, you know, I was, it's nice to talk to him as well. And I think Bernhardt's right in the mix there too. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for that to happen. I don't know that it means like Frank Darby's terrible or something, but this Falcons wide receiver depth chart heated up extremely quickly. Like, there's no longer a quick, easy path to wide receiver six. Like, you have to, he's going to have to show out. Like, he's going to have to blast it in the preseason. And, you know, we'll see what happens. It could happen. It could happen. So we'll see. But I don't know that, look, I mean, sixth round pick, this coaching staff's not going to be overly loyal to him because of his draft status being a late day three pick. Like, it's just, you're like late sixth round pick. You're sort of a priority free agent at that point. They're not going to bend over backwards to keep you around. Obviously they would like to be proven right about the draft pick. So you're going to have a little bit more leeway than some guys, but, at this point, it's going to be tough for him to make it again this year. With the Bryan Edwards injury, I haven't heard any details, like firm details on that. It didn't look like debilitating. Like, he wasn't getting carted off. Like, he got up from the play. You know, he was a little bit getting up a little gingerly on his arm. He looked like he was holding his wrist, or maybe it was, somebody said they thought it was more of a shoulder thing. So I don't know anything about that yet. We'll see what happens there. That's something to monitor, certainly, but I wouldn't get like overly concerned yet about that being like a long-term thing or anything at all. It could have just been that it was a very, you know, it was a very intense session there at the end. It was right before the end of practice, so him like leaving the field, I'm sure he was instructed to do so because it was the end of practice anyway. So we'll monitor it. I'll report, you know, if he's not out there on Monday, you guys will be the first to know. You can follow my Twitter. But as of now, I'm not overly concerned. But we'll see. We'll see. That Drake London catch over D. Alford. Yeah, I mean, that leads us into a good segue into sort of the two stars of the day were Drake London and Kyle Pitts yet again. Those two were a dynamic duo today. They were just dominating. I think Drake London had three touchdowns during the team session. Kyle Pitts, I think, had two. And it's just like those guys, you can tell, you know, they're really good. They are really, really good. Drake London, again, like, this is not a guy that's a burner, but you can see it on that pass with D. Alford. Like, the ball is a little bit underthrown. I don't think it's terrible. I know some people were like trying to dunk on Mariota for the throw. Like, this is the fourth day of training camp, guys. Like, the timing and the chemistry is not there. Like, it's not going to be there yet. I would be amazed if the deep ball chemistry was already terrific between Mariota or Ridder and any of these guys. The fact that they're not throwing picks is great. Like, that's tremendous. They still have thrown like one pick in the entire training camp, I think, between the two of them. So, the deep ball is the hardest thing to get right. You have to get a lot of reps with these guys. You have to learn their speed and all this stuff. So don't worry about, oh, the deep ball is not sharp. Like, this is a brand new quarterback coming in here with a lot of new faces at receiver that he hasn't thrown to before. Relax a little bit about that. It was fine. The ball was fine. It was a little underthrown. So London had to adjust to it. And Alford had good coverage. Like, he got mossed, like, for sure. But, like, the coverage was good. Like, he was right there. And Drake London just went up and got it, adjusted to the ball, and there you go, in the end zone. That's six. So that's how he's going to make his money as a deep threat. He's not going to be a burner. But I was very impressed by that. We saw some great footwork, some great route running from him. He just totally turned around Mike Ford on that one play. You've probably seen Adnan had a much better shot of it than I did. I don't even think I bothered posting it because Adnan's was so much better. He just totally dusted Mike Ford and was wide open in the back of the end zone. That was a great ball from Mariota. Obviously, him being very open, you know, helps with that. But that was a great ball. He also had like a toe tap sort of goal line catch for a touchdown, and just a lot of other good plays too. So that was great from him. And then Kyle Pitts is doing Kyle Pitts things. Like he just embarrassed Tease Tabor on that one-on-one rep. You guys can see it on my Twitter as well. Tease just like straight up grabs him, which, like, to be honest, like, that's what I would do. Like, that's my only chance to even be in the same zip code as Kyle Pitts, is to just grab him like immediately, hope the ref doesn't see it. And like he did, like he grabbed him. It would have been a flag, you know, it would have drawn a hold for sure. And Kyle Pitts just like gave him a pass rush move. He just slapped the hands off, turned around, caught the pass, went out of bounds, like effortlessly. Incredible. It's just like, oh, okay, I guess that's happening. Like, poor Tease Tabor, he held onto him and still couldn't do anything. And that's what Kyle Pitts can do. Like, it doesn't matter how you play him. At some, like, on some of these routes, he's just going to be dominant. And that's exactly what he did today. He had a really good adjustment to sort of a little bit of an off throw by Mariota, I would say. I mean, it wasn't, considering the down and distance and like the fact that it was the red zone and that there was a corner very close to him, Mariota had to put it out there. It wasn't like great, but look, with Kyle Pitts, Bryan Edwards, Auden Tate, all these guys, you just got to put it within 2 yards of them and they could go up and get it. And it's better to put it 2 yards out towards the sideline where the DB has no chance at it than it is to, you know, go the other way. So I'd rather they go out further than try to hit him dead on and then throw it behind him and have a problem. So, that was a great play too. Just dominance from both of those guys, and you love to see it. This is potentially a dynamic duo of receiving threats here for the Falcons. Derek mentioned, you know, Auden Tate as well. Like, Auden Tate's not a burner, guys. Like, he's not a burner. Like, people have been dunking on his cone drills and stuff like that. Oh, it looks like he's running insane. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, you know why? Because he's just going to go catch everything you throw his way. He doesn't need to create a lot of separation because he's huge and also has just, he might have the best hands of anybody. Like, I don't think I've seen him drop anything that was like remotely close to a good pass so far. I think there's been some good coverage on him that sometimes has worked. I think AJ Terrell did really well against him on one particular rep. So it's not like he's invincible, but like having that kind of guy out there too, especially in the red zone as a chain mover, that sort of thing. That's why you have him. He's a favorite right now, I would say, for the roster for sure. I did see some stuff. Let me see if I can go back. I think I got to everything that was asked. Yeah, I think so. JL Hunt over at Cat Scratch Reader today. Man, we are spoiled by Kevin and the rest of the crew. They were lacking in depth coverage of camp, just a bunch of random tweets with little real substance. Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest with you, and, you know, hopefully the shadowy corporate overlords aren't watching. You know, do you guys really think the corporate overlords watch my show? They probably don't, right? Nobody gets training camp covered. No site, no person, no employee is getting any travel reimbursement officially from corporate. So I don't blame the other sites for not having someone come to cover camp, to be honest. Like, if you don't live there or you're able to drive to camp or whatever, I mean most people can't do it, you know, to be honest. Like, I am very privileged. Like, I have you guys help me get there. Like, your donations cover a lot of the expenses, and we're going right on the way to getting most, if not all, of it covered, combined with some other stuff I have cooking. And I really appreciate that, obviously. That's awesome. I really do appreciate that. And I got some more donations that came in overnight to read as well. So thanks to those folks as well. But for everyone else, like, I don't blame anyone for not making the travel because it's expensive. And not everyone can do it. You know, it's not reasonable for most people. Like, most people can't do what I do, which is work this full time without getting paid anything close to full time, full disclosure. And also, you know, and be able to travel. Like, I have family that lives here. I get to borrow a car. There's a lot of things working in my favor that I can make this happen without support from corporate, you know, from travel stuff getting covered. So, like, I don't want to, like, dunk on other sites necessarily. Like, you know, it's all in good fun, I know. Like, I'm not calling anybody out for it or anything. But that's why most of these other sites aren't going to have this coverage, because nobody's paying for it, you know? That's just the truth. You know, maybe the corporate overlords don't want me to say that, but it's just the truth. Nobody, not even the full-timers, are getting it covered. So, I'm just lucky I've got you guys, and I'm lucky I've got Dave Choate, who's trying to pull as many strings as he can to get me down here, and we're doing the best we can. I know the other sites would do so if they could, too, but that's just what, that's the situation. So, I really obviously appreciate you guys making it happen for me. And I like to think that I'm making the most of it, right? And giving you your money's worth. you know, it is what it is. So that's my tangent and my angry rant about, you know, the lack of institutional support, we're saying. And I don't mean this at the Falcoholic itself. The site is amazing. I love every single person that I work with here. I love Dave Choate. I love my boss's boss, Gina. She's amazing. She does everything that you could possibly ask to try to get stuff for us. But, you know, there's other factors at work here. So that's just where we are. We're doing the best we can. And I think you guys need the coverage, and I need to get down here for my career. And that's just what we're going to do. And I'm privileged enough to be able to do it. I'm happy about it. You know, I can do this full time without having another job that's paying me. Because of my wife's situation and all that. So, I have a unique situation that makes this easier for me to do. I like to think that I do a good job, obviously, but there are other factors at work here. And I appreciate, obviously, my wife, Caroline, for making that happen. I appreciate my family here in Atlanta for making that happen. And, appreciate you guys for helping make that happen too. So feel really honored. So thanks, guys. people dunking on D-Led. D-Led's all right. D-Led's all right. He's such a unique guy, you know. His coverage is very unique as well. So shout out to D-Led. I'm sure he doesn't listen to my show either. So, but again, thanks, guys. If you do want to donate to the fund, like I said, the link is in the show description. Streamlabs.com/thefalcoholic/tip. If you want to put a comment or a question on there, obviously I will answer those. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you can donate anytime, and it'll show up. Like, I'm about to read a couple right now from guys that donated while the show is off air, so don't worry about the timing or whatever, and don't worry about this, you know, fundraiser timer. I set it, I think, for like July 31st, just as like a dummy date, and I can't change it, so sorry, but the fundraiser is still ongoing until the end of trading, until I leave next Wednesday, so don't worry about that. But thank you, guys. Thank you. Speaking of, and if you don't want to donate, what you could do is like and subscribe. You know, that would be good, too. I accept those as currency, so thank you. We've got Brody MM8. Wait, hold on, I gotta scroll. It's like right in between where I can read it. Okay, here we go. Brody MM8 with the $20. Thank you so much, Brody, man. Appreciate that. He says, keep up the great training camp coverage. I will. I will for the next 3 days of practice. Then I have to go back. I can't stay the whole time. I'm not asking you guys for like thousands of dollars for I can be here the whole month. We're not there yet. Maybe in a couple years, you know. No, I'm kidding. Thank you, Brody, man. Appreciate that. We also got Bugs Cruise, I think is how I would say that, with the $10. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. He says, just thank you. So thank you as well. Appreciate that. And Chris Pearson, thanks for subbing. Appreciate that, man. All right, back to the takes. All right, let's get to another extension of the offense, which is that Marcus Mariota, again, had a great day. You know, all the fans that were there, I know a lot of you guys were there. You guys saw it. Like, Mariota is sharp. Like, he's in command. He's quick. He knows exactly what to do. And today we really got to see him use his legs more. I know yesterday he had that one really nice long run that Troy Andersen eventually caught up to. Today it was condensed. They did a lot of red zone work, a lot of, you know, goal line and that sort of thing. And Mariota on multiple occasions used his legs very, like, intelligently. Like, he didn't run all the time. I would say he only ran on, like, 3 to 4 plays. But every single one was effective. You know, I think he picked up a crucial first down, like in one of the periods where they were tracking down and distance. And everything was covered. The defense was doing a great job. Mariota just beat the edge. I think it was Ogundeji. Ogundeji just beat the edge to the first down marker. That was great. You know, he got the first down. The very next play was the touchdown to Auden Tate that everyone has seen. So kept the drive alive, got a touchdown the very next play. So that's, you know, what we're looking for. Obviously, he did have a very nice rushing touchdown from about 5 yards out. Again, everything was well covered. He just got a step, got a good angle against the edge rusher. I didn't see who it was on that play. And just went in for the touchdown, you know, had to go all the way to the sideline, but he was able to, you know, get in with the old ball extension there. So, he looks sharp, man. Better than I think anyone expected. You know, we'll see how that continues through camp, see how that goes in the preseason, and see if it continues into the regular season. But right now, I mean, there's just nothing. It would be hard to expect more. You know, they haven't, and Ridder too, like, they haven't made a lot of mistakes. There have been some balls that were not perfectly thrown. There have been some missed deep connections. You know, poor Alameda Zacchaeus, like, today he had like a fingertip away from getting this one. I think it was more on him than Mariota on that throw. And then sometimes it's just been like, just, it was a little bit overthrown or whatever, and he's been just a step away from these deep bombs, and that'll get cleaned up. But other than that, those minor things, 4 days into camp, this offense is looking sharp under Mariota, and that's what we're hoping for. That's really what we're hoping for right now. And like, on the topic of Desmond Ridder, he's good. Like, it's not that he's not playing up to what we were expecting or anything like that. It's just, like, Mariota has been sharper. You could tell Mariota's the veteran that's been here. Mariota knows the playbook better. He's a tick faster. He's a little bit more accurate. And he's much more comfortable running. Ridder has really not run at all. I think he scrambled, like, once or twice in all 4 days of training camp. You could just tell that he's not super comfortable doing that yet. I don't think he knows the playbook super well. He knows it, but, like, it's not ingrained. Like, Marcus Mariota has played in this offense before, or a very similar version of it, for a year. Maybe even 2 years, you know, whatever. And so, it's different. It takes time to fully... there's a difference between knowing the playbook and knowing the offense. I think Ridder knows the playbook. Mariota understands the offense on a deep level. And there's a difference between those two things. Like, one of those means you can be a good backup. You can come in and play if you need to, but you're not 100% there yet. And the other one is, like, you understand everything that you're trying to do on all levels, and you can go execute it. So I think that's where Mariota is, and Ritter's right there beneath him. But they haven't signed a veteran. They don't need to. Like, they don't need to. Ridder is absolutely fine as the backup right now. Like, if he had to come in and play, I think it would be okay. I don't think it would be as good as Mariota right now. That shouldn't surprise anyone. But if he did have to, I think he would be ready. I think he would be serviceable, at least, if he had to, like, run in there in week one. You know, I don't think that would be ideal necessarily, but I could definitely see by, like, week 8, week 9, week 10, Ridder being perfectly capable of executing the offense at a very good level, like a very high understanding. So we'll see how quickly he comes along, and, you know, he's got a lot more training camp left to grow. Like, we're only 4 days in, and he's already like, oh yeah, he's just a step below the starter. Like, that's very good for a rookie. I think people's expectations for Ridder were so high, and maybe that's partially my fault, right? Because I was very high on Ridder, right? I mean, I was like, this is my guy. You know, I really like Ridder for the Falcons. You know, otherwise, you know, unless it was Malik Willis, I was like fully on the Ridder train, and I've been talking him up. So maybe that's partially my fault for getting that hype train really rolling, but it's perfectly normal that he needs a little bit more time. Nothing weird or wrong about that at all. Yeah, and Corey Carter mentioned it too. Like, Matt Ryan set the bar ridiculously high for a rookie quarterback. He came in and took his team to the playoffs. That is exceptionally rare. That so rarely happens. I would not expect that from any quarterback. You know, that's just a nice surprise, but I think expecting that, I mean, look at the rookie quarterbacks last year. What did they do? You know, Mac Jones was the best one, you know, quote unquote. Davis Mills was probably actually the best one, but like, it, you know, what are we really talking about here? Like, Trevor Lawrence, best pick in a decade, you know, can't miss quarterback prospect. He struggled because guess what? Like, takes time to adjust to the NFL. Didn't have a good team around him. Zach Wilson didn't look good at all. I'm not sure how good he is. He's certainly very talented. Davis Mills was the most impressive one of all. I mean, he had a dumpster fire around him, and he managed to get that thing rolling to some degree. You know, Justin Fields also had a dumpster fire around him. He had less success. So, you know, Mac Jones had success, but again, like, the offense around him was very limited. And it quickly sort of got figured out, and the Patriots did fizzle out down the stretch. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But we'll see. You know, I think it's fine where Ritter is right now. I'm totally, totally okay with where he is. Like, I mean, and to me, that's like, he's met my expectations. I have no concerns whatsoever about where Ritter is in the process right now. And you shouldn't either, is what I'm trying to say. All right. I will touch on the run game real quick. This was the best day, I would say, so far for, like, the rushing offense. And, like, even still, I would say that it was about 50-50. Like, the defense, I think the defense has been very stout against the run overall. Today, it was more like 50-50. Like, the offense had a good number of wins, and the defense had a good number of wins. Today, the standout running backs were Patterson. He doesn't get a lot of carries because, you know, you don't need to give him a lot of carries. You already know what he can do. But he had a really good one to open practice. And then we saw a lot of Damian Williams. Damian Williams, I think, has been the most consistently impressive of all the guys that are getting a ton of reps. Patterson's not getting a lot of reps. So, like, if you're not hearing me talk about Patterson all the time, it's not because he's bad. It's because they're just not giving him that many reps. He doesn't need them. Damian Williams, of the guys that are getting a lot of reps, has been consistently very impressive. Tyler Allgeier is getting, I think, more and more carries coming on. Yeah, and Corey's asking about the rotation. To me, right now, I think the pecking order is Patterson, Williams, Allgeier. But again, I don't know, like, it's really tough to say what exactly that means. Like, is it that Damian Williams is the top passing backup behind Patterson and Allgeier is the top rushing one? It might be that. I mean, we just don't really know the specifics. We probably won't really know until we see live game action and how they actually divvy out the carries. But that's the top three, clearly. And Avery Williams has been way better than expected, in my opinion. I mean, he doesn't run the ball a lot. As a runner, it's kind of, like, he's fast. He makes good cuts. You know he's a weapon in the open field. I don't know that he's ever going to be a, like, plus guy that you want to give a ton of carries to. I think as a change of pace back, like, sort of a lightning to the thunder of, like, an Allgeier, maybe that could be something that's in his future. I think what Avery Williams is going to do and what they're hoping for is he's going to be your pass catching back eventually. And he's been lethal as a pass catcher so far. Like, he has tremendous hands. There was a rep where he was working against Troy Anderson. Anderson, really good coverage, honestly. Like, and that's a tough assignment. Someone like Avery Williams, who runs like a 4.38, and is very quick. Anderson was all over him, but Avery Williams came down with it. It was a great throw from Mariota. So I think Avery Williams has been better than expected. I think he's certainly on track. You know, for him, the pass protection is the biggest question, in my opinion. Like, how quickly can he become a pass protector? Can he be the personal protector on punts? That sort of stuff. That will, if he can be a good pass protector or do the personal protector stuff, he will have a roster spot. Guarantee it. You know, if he can't get the pass protection down, then he's really depending on winning the returner battle, which he probably will, I would say, right? But there's always the slight chance that the team is like, we don't really want to keep a fourth running back because we're already keeping a fullback, and we'd rather just elevate someone from the practice squad if we need it, and we'd rather keep an extra receiver because, you know, Auden Tate or Kadarrell Hodge or whoever is really impressive. That's the one scenario I can see where, like, he doesn't make it. I don't think that's likely. They've generally kept four running backs, but that would be the one scenario where he might have an issue. Like, if Damir Bird is really good on, you know, returns and there's not much of a difference there, that could be the one thing. Or if they're, like, really serious about letting Patterson, you know, return kicks and stuff like that to break his record, then that could be something to watch, too. Yeah, I mean, like, I think Huntley has been good, too. Like, honestly, Huntley's caught the ball well. he hasn't gotten a ton of carries with the starters, so it's sort of hard to evaluate. And, like, again, like, Huntley and Algier, I think we're going to get a better look at them on Monday when we actually have contact. That's sort of going to – it's going to help their running styles more, too. And to some extent, Quadri Olsen. Olsen's not getting a ton of reps, which is a little odd to me. But he's sort of stuck in that group with Huntley, where they're just not getting a lot of reps with the starters. And Olsen has gotten some, and I think he's been fine there. But to me, like, I think Olsen sort of screams like he's your practice squad running back, and you elevate him, you know, as needed in terms of injury. But that's sort of where I think he's sort of destined. And we'll see how that goes. It's really hard to evaluate the finer points of the running backs and the running game without full contact. And hopefully we'll get some of that on Monday. So, I know everyone's asking about the offensive line. And yes, it was Elijah Wilkinson again at left guard for 3 straight days, which to me now that's meaningful. That's very meaningful. Like, they've rotated center every day. They haven't touched right tackle at all, which is probably also meaningful, for being honest. And left guard, they rotated it, and then they kept it there. And I think it's... I don't know that I would, like, make a bold prediction that Wilkinson's going to all of a sudden just be a left guard. But I think that this is a pretty clear sign that they're intrigued by Wilkinson at left guard. And that they really want to see him there. Like, they want to get an extended look before they rotate Mayfield back in. Or maybe they're just trying to stabilize things and just really get a good look at center. But, you know, Wilkinson is not exactly a super high ceiling guy, but maybe he can give you, like, maybe a Quentin Spain level, where, like, he's going to be a serviceable 1-year veteran that can give you, like, average to above average play, maybe. He, as far as I know, hasn't played left guard at the NFL before, but Wilkinson today was talking in his interview saying, like, look, I didn't know where I was going to play when I signed here. I told him I would play whatever they want. I'd be willing to play center, you know, whatever they say. And that's a good mindset to have. He has played on the left side. He has played guard and tackle. I don't think he's played left guard in the NFL specifically, but he's played left tackle. He's played right guard a lot. He's played right tackle too. So, like, even if he doesn't win the battle, I think he's got a great shot at the roster because of his versatility. But I think he's looked fine. Again, trench play, we're not going to learn a lot about trench play with these padless practices. You're just not. They do like Wilkinson, I think. You know, and I think Smith said something along the lines of, like, you know, we're not, like, down on Jalen Mayfield. Like, don't take that away from what we're doing. But we are sort of intrigued by Wilkinson, and we think the competition is going to make both these guys better. So take away from that whatever you want. But so far, Wilkinson has had 3 days of being with the starters. Mayfield has had 1. Right tackle, we haven't seen anything. So that has been very anticlimactic. I do wonder if we'll get a Fetty at some point. I imagine we will. Maybe they want to test one spot at a time. They don't want to, because I agree with that. Like, don't shuffle 3 spots every day. You're not getting any sort of clear picture. Like, shuffle one spot at a time, see how it goes. Yeah, Corey. Yeah, that. Like, yeah. If Josh said it, then I believe it. Josh is a great guy. Josh is fun. I've been having good chats with Josh. Got to know him a little bit more at the Senior Bowl too. So. Josh is a great guy. Shout out to Steve Weish as well, who, fingers crossed, we'll get Steve on here at some point. He did seem open to doing that, you know. So that was a Kevin, director of guest personnel, plug for Steve Weish. So I'm looking forward to that happening at some point. It might not be during the season because he's a very busy man, but I think he was, like, flying out to go cover another camp tonight. So, you know, it might have to wait, but, you know, that's a long-term plug there. Yeah, I haven't seen any of Schaefer, like, at all. He's with the backups. He's with the depth guys for sure. So we'll see how that progresses. You know, I wonder if they're trying to sort of nail down who the center is more than anything, and then maybe they'll take a look at right tackle. You know, we'll see if there's any more shuffling at left guard. I imagine there will still be some more, but it's hard to say, like, right now. I like that they were willing to plug Wilkinson in, and they've left him in. So far, so good there. I think Wilkinson has been fine. So that would be an upgrade over last year, right? Fine would be a big, big upgrade. So it's good so far. We talked about the offense being down. We talked about Marcus Mariota. Let me see what else we got here. I got so many takes. We could talk about the defense some. Darren Hall, this poor guy, like, he was getting on the butt, he was getting the butt end of the stick, right? The butt end of the bread loaf, whatever you want to say. He was just so close to all these plays. He was, like, fingertips away from interception. He broke up a pass, and it got, like, bobbled and caught for a reception. You know, like, he's had some bad luck. He's generally played, I think, pretty tight coverage. And today, he like, it paid off. Like, he had, I think, three pass breakups today. Generally looked really good. I mean, I think he did lose a one-on-one against, like, Kyle Pitts or something. But, like, again, that everybody was losing one-on-ones to Kyle Pitts. That's not really a great indicator of how good you are as a defensive back. So it was nice to see Darren Hall get that bounce back day. He deserves it. He's playing with a lot of passion out there. You could tell with that one clip I had that he just barely missed it, you know, to Bryan Edwards on that one catch. He was mad. He was upset. Like, he could throw. I mean, I would have been upset. Like, it was so close to being this great pass deflection and just didn't quite get it. Bryan Edwards made the catch, and it was now Bryan Edwards' highlight instead of Darren Hall highlight. And I like that. Like, he wants to be on the highlight reel. I get it. He was on the highlight reel today. He was covering well, so shout out to him. He did have a good rebound today. And Richie Grant, I think, has been the most consistently good secondary player, not counting the obvious ones like AJ Terrell and Casey Hayward, who are awesome, of course. Richie Grant has been the star. He's played the most effective coverage on Kyle Pitts of any player, I would say. He's been very aggressive. Like, this is what I was, like, hoping to see last year. Like, he might make some mistakes because he's too aggressive and these sorts of things, but, like, he's gonna make plays too. And they just weren't willing to really put him out there and do that much last year. This year, they're like, okay, you know the defense now, go out there and hunt. And that's exactly what he's doing. Like, he seems like he's almost always the first guy there to run support, to tackling opportunities. He's playing great coverage when called upon. I think his experience as a slot corner last year, that's only going to help him in terms of his ability to play man and stuff like that. He is playing closer to the line of scrimmage when they do sort of that cover one type stuff, whereas Hawkins is playing more deep, but they do rotate. They do interchange, which is a staple of DMP's defense. And Jalen Hawkins too has played well. Again, like, Jalen Hawkins, he had to do, like, a one-on-one rep against Kyle Pitts that he lost, of course. There wasn't really anything he could do, in my opinion. It was like a slant. I mean, I don't know what he was supposed to do there. And then he got beat in the end zone for a touchdown. Again, it's Kyle Pitts. Like, I just, like, if you're getting beat by Kyle Pitts, it's like, okay. Like, I understand. It's Kyle Pitts. It's just like if Julio beats guys, it's like, if Julio didn't beat those guys, you would be like, what's wrong with Julio? Or like, wow, these guys are awesome. If they're actually like, you grade guys differently when they're having to go up against this. But the Falcons were matching up Hawkins a lot on Pitts, and it was a tough matchup. It was a tough matchup for him, but he rebounded. He played good run support. He played good coverage otherwise today. So not concerned there. I think that duo has been sharp. I think the future is bright with that duo for sure. Yeah, Corey Gray is from my alma mater. He's from UCF. He actually grew up in the same... He was born in the same town as I was, Fort Walton Beach, I believe. He went to Choctahatchee High School. I went to Niceville High School. Those are two rival high schools, so he was in the same county as me. So, you know, he's a local guy for me as well. And he went to UCF, so, you know, there's multiple layers there. I did get to talk to him. I think it was yesterday. I do have an interview with him that I recorded, so I'll have an article probably like late next week when I actually get a chance to write it. It's good. I love Richie Grant. I'm excited that he's getting a chance to shine and getting to rebound from a disappointing rookie year. Honestly, there were obviously a lot of questions from fans, from us. You know, like, what's going on, whatever. But I did try to urge you guys to be patient. Because you can't judge draft picks after 1 year. It's a fool's errand. Don't do it. That's why I'm hesitant to dunk too much on Zach Wilson, because it was 1 year. Trevor Lawrence is 1 year. you know, all these guys, like a lot of players, year two is when they finally hit the ground running. A lot of guys, it's year three even. So you draft guys for the rookie contract. And that's why I would also say, don't worry about his age. Like, oh, well, he's, you know, he's like 24, so therefore he has to hit sooner. No, you draft for the rookie contract. Like, when you draft someone, you expect them to contribute on that rookie contract. Anything after that, you can't really predict. They might want to go sign elsewhere. They might not like you. They might not like your defense. Who knows? They might want to go sign elsewhere in free agency. You can't control that. They might suck. You know, you might not want to re-sign them. They might price themselves out. Whatever. You don't draft a guy assuming they're going to be here past the rookie contract. So, like, whether the fact that he's 24 doesn't matter. Like, he needs to produce soon because he's on a four-year rookie contract, not because he's 24. So I wouldn't worry about that. Now, maybe if you're talking about his long-term career in the NFL, like, yes, like, he has a little bit less leeway, sort of similar to a Caleb McGarry, right? McGarry has played 3 years. He's already 27, going on 28. He's almost the same age as Jermaine Ifedi, who has played, like, 6 years in the NFL. I think he's, like, 6 months younger than Jermaine Ifedi, and that's, like, that's the difference. Like, you have a lot. Ifedi really struggled those first 3 years. He was, like, the most penalized player in the NFL. Struggled. And then the last 3 years, he's gotten better. He's cut down on the penalties. He's been a better pass protector, whatever. So it does give you a little bit more leeway. But it doesn't ultimately determine anything, especially when you're still on your rookie contract. Like, if you're good, you're going to play. If you're not good, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know? So it was good to see the secondary continuing to ball out there. Let's see what else we got. While I look that up, guys, again, I really appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. It's been a great show. We're going to keep going here for a little bit longer. I got a couple more notes I need to get to. Please like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. We really appreciate that. If you haven't checked out the Patreon yet, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/falcoholiclive. You can get access to some exclusive perks, like if you're a big podcast listener, the podcasts go up usually the night before they go up on the feed, and they're also the highest possible quality, and they're ad-free. So if you're really into the podcast and you want the best version of the podcast, you can, and you want it early, that's one of the perks there. Also, the big seller seems to be the fantasy leagues. We are having patron fantasy leagues where you're going to get to play with, like, me, Evan, and Adnan. Dave is going to be in one of them. We might have some other guys jumping in too. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, then you could sign up. I think you can sign up pretty much all the way through preseason week one to week two. We're probably going to have the draft between, like, weeks two and three of the preseason. So as long as you're signed up in the next couple weeks, you should be good to go. But we appreciate everyone contributes there. And again, if you're interested in contributing to the training camp fund to help cover training camp for me, the link to that is in the show description, streamlabs.com/thefalcoholic/tip. Thanks, guys, so much for your support. Appreciate that. Yeah, Brandon, the invites haven't gone out yet. Don't worry. Like, if you've told me you're going to sign up, I have you on the list. I have you in the spreadsheet. It's coming. It's coming. But it's probably going to be, like, the first week of the preseason. We're going to set up the leagues and get people in, and then people can join all the way up until week two, between weeks two and three of the preseason. And then we'll have our draft. It'll be a slow draft. They might have gotten an email about it, but it doesn't. The league doesn't exist yet. The leagues don't exist. Like, there's the one from last year still, but that one, I mean, I could reactivate that one. We might just do new ones entirely. So, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll let you know when you need to respond to something. So don't worry about that. All right, we got some more notes. Yeah, you want to play against me for the title? You know, somebody needs to play against me for the title. Last year, it was just Evan and I. It was really boring. You know, it was like, wow. Nobody even made it, you know. Just kidding. You guys did great. Good job. It's not fair, you know, like, Evan and I are, I'm just a fantasy god, you know, so it's like, you know, it's not really fair, right? What do they call that one fantasy league, like, pros versus Joes or whatever? You win your title against randoms? That's good. Congratulations. Or yes, Gina's the boss. Gina is the boss's boss. She's Dave Choate's boss. At SB Nation. So she used to be with the site for a long time. She used to do what I do and be the beat reporter. Did a really great job. And she's leveled up over the years. So congrats to her. All right. Yeah, we talked about the offensive line changes. We talked about Desmond Ridder. Yeah, I do want to touch on that. The top, there is like a clear sort of top three in terms of the wide receiver group that I think is clearly emerged. And that is Drake London, wide receiver one. No surprise there. Bryan Edwards, wide receiver two, I would say. And then Olamide Zaccheaus is right there with him. Like, I think you could sort of say, like, wide receiver 2-3, depending on the alignment. You know, it doesn't really matter. I think Zaccheaus has played in the slot a fair amount and will continue to do so. We know Drake London can rotate in the slot, too, if they need him to. Edwards is sort of an outside-only guy. So, you know, those three are definitely the top dogs, though. Those are the ones that are getting most of the work with the starters. Like, extensively, they don't ever go over to the other side of the field. Those are the guys that are playing with the starters. They're the ones doing the drills, you know, first. So you know they're sort of higher up on the chart. That seems to be how they've organized it. Behind, you know, and we touched on Edwards' injury. Like, Edwards did leave at the end of practice with what looked like maybe a hand, arm, shoulder, something injury. So I'll monitor that. That's going to be the first thing I'm looking for on Monday. Is he out there, or is there an announcement of some kind? And if there isn't, you know, I'm sure someone else will ask it if I don't, but I will ask about it at the presser if we don't see or hear anything about Bryan Edwards by that time. It was funny, on that note, Arthur Smith today, well, I've been there the last couple days, you know, I haven't asked any questions. And so today he was like, oh, what, Kevin, you don't got any questions for me still? You know, it's like, so I tried to play it off like D-Led intimidated me or something, but there's, you know, so I might have to come up with some questions for him now. You know, the pressure's on. So yeah, everybody else was asking such good questions. You know, I got to type it all out. I'm not there typing out the quotes. You know, I don't got time to think of questions. So it's whatever. Behind those top three, there is a group of four that I would say are sort of the contenders right now for those last 2 to 3 spots at the wide receiver. If you have to keep five, it'll be two. If they keep six, it'll be three spots. These names probably will not surprise you. Maybe the last one will. Damir Bird is probably the highest on the list. I think they have a role for him as like a deep threat, as a speed guy. Then there's Kadarrell Hodge, who's a great special teamer. He's been active. He's been catching passes. Again, I think he's like a fine wide receiver. He's like a Tajay Sharpe sort of level wide receiver, but he's a great special teams player. Like, he's one of the better gunners in the NFL. So that's all obviously going to help, and we haven't gotten to see that at all yet, but that is obviously important. Then we also have Auden Tate, of course, who's been a little bit quiet some days, but then has some spectacular catches mixed in there. He's in the mix as well. And then recently, Geronimo Allison has sort of made the jump into being purely with the 1-2 group. I think he's in the mix as well, but I think it'll be harder for him to climb in there as opposed to those first three. I think if they keep three, the first three will make it. If they keep two, it's Damir Bird and probably one of the other three. I don't know which one at this point. So that's the wide receiver depth chart. Corey says, ask him if he'll incorporate the QB sneak this year. I mean, they will. I guarantee you they'll run it this year. We got Guy Fieri with the $1. Solaire, what's up, man? Welcome. He says, hate that I've been missing the live shows, but my job conflicts with the Wednesday times. Glad I could make this one. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to get that revenge in fantasy. Well, thank you for making the time tonight, Solaire. You know, it happens. You know, George was gone for like 2 months. We've had George back on here the last couple nights, so you got... You know, so everyone's coming back in, so it's great. Everyone's getting excited for the season. But thanks for showing up. Thanks for the donation, man. Appreciate that. Welcome back. All right. Yeah, I did want to touch, like, in terms of the other guys. I got a good look at the receivers today. I think the I still watch the VODs. Good. That's what I'm hoping for. There are obviously a bunch of other receivers out there, right? All the undrafted guys and the other veterans and Frank Darby and all that. They were running a lot of wide receiver stuff front and center, probably because the fans like to see that. You know, it's exciting watching the catches, watching the poor Falcons video guy on this one session. I tweeted out about it. This dude got nailed like 3 or 4 times in a row. He got nailed so often that like after one hit him one time, like I was so prepared for it that I went and caught it because it was he'd been hit like 3 times. So either I don't know if TJ Yates just like doesn't like him or what, because he just kept nailing him over and over again. But they were doing it right in front of the fans, and fans like to watch wide receiver drills and stuff like that. It's exciting. It's good clips, you know, for me. So that's the group I've probably seen the most. And it makes sense, I think, to watch that group because I think it's maybe the most fierce competition for spots, maybe other than the offensive line. And in terms of the guys that are probably the practice squad guys, I actually say it's Stanley Berryhill right now, which will make Dave Choate happy for sure because he loves Berryhill's name. It's an A-plus name, so that he's got that going for him for sure. Stanley Berryhill Jr., I think, has been the most consistently impressive every day. You can tell he's a great route runner. He runs very crisp routes. He's got that agility. He's been good. I've been impressed by Berryhill for sure. And then lacrosse star Jared Bernhardt, I think, is right behind him. You know, you can tell Bernhardt's a little bit newer to the position, but he's a very natural, gifted athlete. So he's got that going for him. I think the team obviously likes that. I've heard a lot of buzz that the team really likes Bernhardt. That they're a big fan of him as a player, as a person, and we know the character aspect is big for them. So I would not be shocked at all if they want to stick him around and develop. And those are the two that I think they're in the lead right now. You know, so it'll probably be those two and maybe one of the other guys that doesn't make it. So if they keep, you know, three receivers, then maybe it would be Geronimo Allison, would be the third guy in the practice squad, or Auden Tate or Kadarius Hodge or whoever else. Yeah, Corey, I was going to write about, like, oh, yeah, it's actually great that T.J. Yates is a wide receivers coach because he just, like, throws all the passes in the drill. They don't need a quarterback over there because T.J. Yates is former quarterback. So, you know, everyone, all the receivers give him a hard time when he throws a bad pass, which happens sometimes. They're like, oh, T.J., what are you doing? You know, so it's like, that's kind of funny. But it does, in some ways, make a lot of sense that he's a good fit for wide receivers coach because he throws a good ball. So, You don't need an extra guy. You don't need an extra quarterback or coach or anybody. You just got TJ right there. Yeah, I think that might be all my notes. Like I was saying, yeah, we already talked about the running backs. I think that's most of what I wanted to cover. We'll go for, you know, maybe 5-10 more minutes. If you guys got any more pressing questions, you could throw those in the chat. I did see one from John Bernard. He says, Kevin, really appreciate the info. You're welcome, man. He says, are special teams getting much work? No, not at all. They're not punting at all. They're using the machine. They're doing some return stuff, but mostly it's Avery Williams and Demir Byrd returning like 90% of the returns. And it's not really like full speed or full special teams work. So we might not really get a great look at that aspect until the preseason. So we haven't seen much of that yet, unfortunately. But I'm interested to see, especially the punter stuff. You know, Seth Vernon's got a lot of hype. Bradley Pinion's very good punter, too. So that battle is one to watch, for sure. Yeah, I think that's most of my notes. Like I said, guys, I do really appreciate everyone for tuning in today. I appreciate everyone coming out and saying hi. Tomorrow is an off day, so there is no practice. If you don't see, like, a million tweets on my feed, you know, don't be upset because there is no practice. Day five will be Monday. That will be the first padded practice, so that's going to be an exciting one. It's going to be a big one. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I know we all are. Adnan will be back out there with me on Monday. I will be having a very special lunch with a former guest of the show on Monday, along with Adnan. So the clips and stuff will probably be a little bit delayed, because we're going to do that, and then I'll have to write up stuff. So Monday, I'll get some stuff out. When I'm there, I'll do the live tweeting and all that stuff still. I'll try to send a few clips while I can, and then I'll be at a lunch for a while, and then, you know, I'll get stuff caught up once I get back from that. But it'll be a little bit delayed, probably after the lunch. The response has been tremendous. I've 1,000 followers over. I think I've gotten 1,100 followers in the last couple of days, which is wild. The channel is growing too, which is, you love to see it, right? Like I said, like and subscribe, tell all your friends about it, you know, share the coverage. We really appreciate that too. Obviously if you're able to donate, that's great, but I appreciate the other stuff just as much, like helping it grow, spreading the word, retweeting, subscribing, all that stuff. That all helps out a lot. So, that's all great. Really appreciate that. I'm going to take a break tomorrow and rest. It's not with Eric Brandon. I wish Eric was here. That would be cool. Maybe one year we can get him down here. I'm sure he's really busy with ESPN doing all these cut-ups and stuff. I think we're going to have a big Falcoholic meetup tomorrow where I think we might get, you know, Will and Gina and some other folks that are around here. you know, Monday is another guest, a recent guest. It is not, it is, you know, I'm going to keep it, you know, quiet, but it is a recent guest, you know, within the last couple of months. So excited about that. It's going to be a fun lunch. And then, yeah, we'll have all the great content out there for you. I'll be back there on Tuesday as well. I'll be back there on Wednesday. Wednesday will be a little weird because I have to catch a flight after practice. So it might be a little slower. I'll have a lot of time at the airport, I imagine, you know, the Atlanta airport. But other than that, it'll be good. And this has been great. You know, we got 3 more days to go, 4 days down, 3 more to go while I'm still here. It's going to be fun. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep grinding. I'm glad you guys are enjoying the content so much. And we'll take it from there. You know, it doesn't stop after I leave, right? I'll continue to report on what I hear. We got contacts at the branch. We got lots of guys out there. Am I flying out from Delta? I mean, I am flying Delta, definitely. You know, I got my SkyMiles card. So, gotta hit that up whenever I can. But yeah, really appreciate you guys. Obviously, we're going to have our shows still for practice other than Wednesday. Wednesday's show will probably be like Thursday, and we're going to have like a big show. I think I'm going to have Alan Sterk join me on Monday for Monday's show, so that'll be fun. And we'll go from there. And then, you know, after that, like a week after I get back, it'll be preseason, right? We're going to be doing our preseason play-by-plays. If you guys are new to the channel, you haven't seen those yet, those are very entertaining in my opinion. I think we crush it. You know, I think we crush the coverage there. You know, we've had some interesting preseason performances that we've covered, you know, like last year where Arthur Smith didn't play the starters at all. That was fun, you know, in a very painful way, of course. But those are fun. So we do a live play-by-play of all the preseason games. So if you don't have Game Pass or NFL Plus or whatever the hell they're calling it these days, you can catch all the action from the preseason with our analysis right here on the channel. We'll do one for all 3 games. And then we'll take it from there, guys. There's regular seasons right around the corner. I think we're a little over a month out. So excited about it. Excited to keep going, keep grinding here, keep bringing you all this tremendous Falcons content. But until Monday, guys, have a great Sunday. Take a little bit of a breather from the coverage. I know I will. I did take a shower today, you know, finally. So, you know, if you happen to run in, I'm sorry to everyone who, you know, happened to run into me. You know, it may have been not as much of a fun experience as you thought in terms of smell or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But it was good, guys. So thank you. Yeah, we will be back on Monday for some more takes, some more training camp action for the Atlanta Falcons. Until then, guys, have a great night. I will see you on Monday. Until then, have a great night, folks.